Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we give you great thanks and praise for this day of rejoicing when we celebrate the baptisms of Nick and Sabrina, and when we remember our own commitments to you and remember just how great you are, that you should take on yourself our burdens, our sins, and redeem them through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. As we approach your word today, we pray that you would help us to do so with humility and with awe, and that we would be transformed by this encounter with your holy word. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray these things. Amen. Today's sermon text comes from the Old Testament book, 1 Kings. If you'd like to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 15, I will read verses 9 through 15. We're going through a series of messages here on the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Today is goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those nine. And today's story is all about the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. And here we find in 1 Kings chapter 15, starting in verse 9, a story of one of the good kings. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 41 years. His grandmother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land and got rid of all the idols his fathers had made. He even deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut the pole down and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. He brought into the temple of the Lord the silver and gold and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Put yourself in this story. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have Asa as your king? Asa was the king that we were waiting for. He was a good man, a good king, because he did what was right in God's eyes. Do you remember how our nation, Judah, used to be part of the larger nation of Israel? Several years ago, many decades ago, Israel and Judah were united under one king. Our first king was King Saul. And he was a little crazy at times. He kind of got worse as time went on. But he was God's anointed man to lead our nation, and he did so for 40 years. And then after Saul died, David, the greatest king of all of Israel, and not really a bad name, right, David? A great king of Israel reigned for 40 years. And after David died, then Solomon, the wisest of all the kings, reigned. Solomon, David's son, reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. He was the one who built our temple and expanded our territory so it was the largest it ever was. That was just 20 years ago when Solomon died. Do you remember how civil war suddenly broke out after that? There was a contest for the throne, and the northern tribes of Israel, the 11 northern tribes of Israel, peeled away from us here in Judah and became their own nation. They anointed their own king, an evil man named Jeroboam, and they took the family name of Israel with them as their nation's name. Our country split into two, north and south, and here we were left just the one tribe of Judah. At least we still had the capital city of Jerusalem and the temple inside it. Those were hard years. Do you remember our king? Israel had their king Jeroboam, but we had the king Rehoboam, Solomon's son, But Solomon's son Rehoboam did not follow in his father's footsteps. He was an evil king. That's when everything began to fall apart. Rehoboam encouraged us to worship the local Canaanite fertility gods. He set up these high places of worship in the countryside all over the place. He and his wife Maacah set up these phallic symbols, these Asherah poles all over the place. It was really disgusting stuff. And everybody went along with it. It was amazing and terrible. It was as if we decided that we wanted to have nothing to do with our own God anymore. That's when all this trouble began. Do you remember how next Egypt rose up against us? The Pharaoh of Egypt, named Shishak, came and his army, which was very imposing, invaded our land, came into Jerusalem, even into the temple area, and took everything that was of value, everything that reminded us of the God that we served, and carried it away, emptying our worship space so that we would not have any memory of the God whom we serve. It was as if Egypt was coming in to punish us for our unfaithfulness and to take away anything that would remind us of the God that we were so quickly forgetting ourselves. They took away all the gold and silver, all the instruments of worship, and we were left with a barren temple. That was just 15 years ago when that happened. Hard to believe, isn't it? These have been very dark years since then. Many of us have lost sons and brothers and fathers and uncles in the ongoing civil war with our neighbors to the north, Israel. The temple has been empty. The people have been worshiping all sorts of gods, the god of sex, the god of money, the god of power, the god of indulgence, the god of nationalism, the god of anger. We have been waiting for a king to make things right again. A king whom God would fill with his spirit. A king who would bring religious reform and get us back on track with God once more. Asa is the king we have been waiting for. Asa has done all the right things. He is the next best thing to King David, his great-great-grandfather. Asa has listened to God and has put an end to the idol worship in our land. He has gotten rid of all of the male shrine prostitutes. Sure, we still have some of those high places out in the countryside, but that's okay. He got rid of the Asherah pole that his grandmother set up. On the whole, Asa has done really tremendous things to restore worship and righteousness in our land. And best of all, Asa has restored our worship space. He and his father, who made these silver and gold objects, brought them back into our temple again to make the place what it should be. He recreated all of the objects that had been prescribed by the law of Moses once upon a time, the 12 silver platters that held all of the animal sacrifices, the 12 silver sprinkling bowls that held all of the blood from the animal sacrifices, and the 12 golden plates that were used to burn incense to our God. He put everything back where it was supposed to be, and things were right in our world again. Asa is a good king. It's as if the memory of those dark years, really not that long ago, is moving further and further behind us. So how have things gone wrong again so quickly? It seems like just yesterday that King Asa brought back all of the silver and gold and temple objects. Do you remember what they looked like? They're not around anymore. They're gone again, and this time Asa is the one to blame. I only read part of today's newspaper a few moments ago. Let me summarize what happens next. For 20 years, there is peace in our land. But then Israel comes against us again, reinvigorating their civil war against us. They set up a blockade around us so that no one can get in or out, so that no goods can be transported in or out. Their army is impressive and frightening, and we do not stand a chance against them. So King Asa collects all of these silver and gold objects again, everything that is of value in our temple, empties out even the royal treasury, takes all of that wealth and gives it to the Arameans. The Arameans, our enemies, who had been allies with Israel. Asa sends all of this wealth to the Arameans to bribe them to switch sides, to fight against Israel and for us. And it works. The Aramean army attacks and conquers a few towns in Israel up in the north, and that distracts the king of Israel from fighting us here in the south. The army leaves, and King Asa takes the opportunity to conscript our labor and take apart the blockade against us and to reinforce our own border cities. It's hard work for us, that's to be sure, but King Asa's ingenuity saves the day. He is a good king. This is good news, right? Wrong. Not only is our temple bare again, but King Asa is showing where his true loyalties lie, with the Arameans, and not with our God. A prophet rises up to challenge Asa on this point. The prophet says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. But you, Asa, have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." And just like that, Asa's goodness evaporates. He throws this prophet into prison and begins to oppress other people in his kingdom, especially those who were agreeing with the prophet's message. This oppression becomes dreadfully brutal and cruel, so much so that it becomes hard for us to remember the time when we saw that Asa was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Eventually, Asa develops a severe foot infection that he suffers with for 2 years, and during that time, he does not trust God to heal him. He brings in all of the best physicians in Judah, but he doesn't put his faith in God, and eventually that disease overtakes his body, and he dies, and is buried in Jerusalem. Good King Asa has reigned as king over Judah for 41 years, 1 year longer than all the best kings before him, Saul and David and Solomon. What happened to King Asa? Where did things go wrong? He was a good king, and his heart was devoted to the Lord. He accomplished many good things because his heart was committed to the Lord, but something broke. He had tremendous influence in restoring the worship space for the people of Judah. His religious reforms were incredibly important. He did all the right things by doing away with all the false gods and all the high places of worship that he could, and putting all the right stuff back in the temple of God. But that was just a temporary, momentary situation. Asa was good because his heart was devoted to God, not because of the things he did. And the strange thing about the human heart is just how quickly it can change loyalties. It did for Asa. How could Asa be in God's good graces one moment and then turn away from God when trouble arises? Friends, you are Asa. I am Asa. Our hearts, fully devoted to the Lord as they are, can change just like that. We are here doing all the right things, striving to do what is right in the Lord's eyes. You are here in church this morning when you could be sleeping or doing something else. Good for you. You sing songs with the congregation. You participate in the responsive psalm when the time comes. You listen attentively when the scriptures are read aloud. Like the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15, you raise before our Lord your deepest needs and concerns, and you ask Him for His love and for His mercy over and over and over again, and you are grateful to take whatever crumbs fall from the Master's table. You do all the right things. You go to the International Youth Convention. You experience Jesus in a powerful way, and you dedicate your life to following Him. Your heart is fully committed to the Lord. You come home and you are baptized as a sign of the transformation that's in your life. You are good, aren't you? You're good enough, aren't you? King Asa was good enough, wasn't he? The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. What does this mean? What does it mean to be good? What does it look like? Our faith informs what it means to be good and what it looks like. Our faith teaches us the story of truth, the story of hope, the story of justice, which goes like this. Jesus came into our world to redeem us from sins. He died on the cross and was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And by His death and resurrection, He forgives our sins and gives us new life, eternal life in the kingdom of God. This new life is marked by the Holy Spirit taking up residence within us. And so our lives are transformed. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. That's the truth of Scripture. That's what it means to be a follower of the Lord. And one of the signs of this Spirit-filled life, one of the fruit of the Spirit, is goodness. But hear the truth of Scripture. Goodness is not a moral or religious checklist. It is a lifetime commitment of the heart. We are not good because of the things that we do. We do the things that we do because God's goodness lives inside us. I thought there might be an amen at that point. That's all right. Geraldine's home with her mother. That's okay. She's our amener. You can respond sometimes if you want. That's all right. Asa was a good king of Judah. He was a good man. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And really, by comparison to many of the other kings that we find in the Old Testament, he is a pillar of faith and virtue. But the end of his story, which is found after the passage that we read together in 1 Kings 15 and in 2 Chronicles 16, the story is in two different places, the end of his story reveals something very important. Being good has very little to do with the actions that we take or even the motives that we have. Goodness is a gift from God. That gift from God leads us to commit our lives to the Lord, our hearts to following Him today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and all of our days, not just now. It is important to worship here with the family of God on Sunday mornings. It is important to be baptized as a sign of faith and transformation. It is important to read the Bible regularly, to serve those in need in our community, to speak about Jesus Christ whenever possible. But these things do not make you good. Jesus Himself said there is only one who is good, meaning God the Father. When this God dwells inside you, when your heart is fully committed to the Lord, in the language of 1 Kings, then goodness will overflow from your life into the lives of those around you. Sounds pretty good, right? But there will come a time when it will be harder to be good in this way. For King Asa, it was 20-some years down the road when the Israelite civil war became too much for him, and he gathered all of the valuable objects, all of the religious things, all of the sacred things that belonged to God, and sold them off for a chance of freedom and victory. It may be 20 years down the road for you. It may be 5 years down the road, 1 year, 6 months. It could be next week. It could even be 15 minutes from now. But there will come a time when a challenge will rise up in your life that will bring into question whether or not you will follow the Lord's ways. You will be tempted to handle the situation alone. You'll be tempted to gather all of the valuable things in your life and sell them off to the Arameans so you might have a chance of victory on your own. Maybe you're facing a challenge like that right now. When that challenge appears, you will have the opportunity to choose your own path, to rely on your friends or your doctors or your money or your intellect or your beauty or your talents or your skills to make it through the challenge. You may try to do what is right, to solve the problem, to save the day through your decisions and your actions. But if your heart is not fully committed to the Lord in that moment, your choices and your actions will not be full of the Lord's goodness. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not how well we perform. It's an evidence of God's Spirit living in us. And it takes a constant dedication of the heart to the Lord. Nick and Sabrina, it's wonderful to see you baptized here as a sign of your faith. It really is amazing and beautiful, and we celebrate it with you. It doesn't end today. It doesn't end now. It continues tomorrow and as the school year begins at Alma and at Bullet Creek High School. It begins the next time you encounter somebody and have an opportunity to decide to follow the Lord's ways in your relationship with them or to do it your own way. It has the same effect in each of our lives. The goodness of the Lord is to bear fruit in our lives at every turn. So it's the Lord doing the good through us. Not that we're good. None of us is good. Only God is good. So friends, take a moment right now to dedicate your heart to the Lord again. The invitation is for you to dedicate your heart to the Lord again. This is why I said a moment ago, remember your baptisms. Because anytime someone is baptized, it's a chance for you to remember your baptism in a way that recommits your life to the Lord again. It's not just for these two, it's for all of us. To rededicate our lives to the Lord, to reflect on how much Jesus loves you, to reflect on the new life that He provides through His death and resurrection. Examine yourself. Examine your heart. Think about your own religious reform, whether it took place 20 years ago or 60 years ago or just 20 minutes ago, whatever that looked like and whenever that took place. Like King Asa, you may say that you took care of business a long time ago and that's good enough. But each of us has to keep dedicating our hearts to the Lord so that God's goodness shines through even when challenges arise. Remember King Asa, the king we were waiting for, the good king who faltered at the end of his life. Practice doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. But remember that goodness is not a checklist of things we think we should do. Instead, it is the result of God's Spirit living within us, guiding us through each day's challenges. Amen. Lord our God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your word. And for King Asa and his example of what it means to follow you and how tempting it is to turn from you when challenges arise. fill us with your Spirit, Lord, this day, and lead us ever forward in your kingdom, that we might be ambassadors for Jesus Christ everywhere we find ourselves, that there may be no question as to whom we follow and whose we are. We pray for your special blessing and protection over Nick and Sabrina this day as they have taken this step of faith to declare their trust in you and their belief in Jesus Christ as their Lord. Watch over them in the days to come and give them strength to follow you all of their days. And may we be amazed at their witness and at the lives that they are living as they enter adulthood. Help us, Lord, all to be faithful to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.